This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And yes, it's that time of the week for Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today's show is in celebration of World Sleep Day, which is on this Friday, the 15th of March. So that does not mean that you're supposed to be falling asleep during this. But if you want to take the opportunity to take a nap now for 1 hour, I will allow it, because you can go listen to the show afterwards as a podcast that will be available on highfm.com. But that's not the point of today. We want to talk about sleep and how sleep changes also through the ages. But for me, as you know, sleep is a big, big passion of mine, because this is my business. This show, of course, is my passion project. No longer call it my side hustle, because I love it too much. This is for sure my passion project. And I love sharing what I know also about parenting and speaking to experts about parenting. As always, I do want you to join in the conversation. As I mentioned, we are talking about sleep today. And if you have questions about sleep, because we're not just talking baby or children's sleep or small children's sleep, we're talking about all sorts of sleep, including your own. So if you have any questions on sleep, please do SMS us on 34519 or Telegram us on 061-895-1019. Please remember that SMSs are charged at 1.50 per SMS. So like I mentioned, the 15th of March, this Friday, we observe World Sleep Day. And the theme this year is sleep equity for global health. The theme for this World Sleep Day, this global equity or sleep equity for global health, it just means that sleep is essential to health. But measurable differences in sleep health persist across populations across the world, creating additional burdens and reinforcing health inequities. That's a mouthful, and we're going to speak about that with my guest today, who is a father, because that makes in my books already him an expert in certain fields, but he's also a sleep health therapist, Jan Daniel Ace. JD, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Yolandi. Good to see you as always.
So this sleep equity for global health that we're celebrating, what is this about? What does this mean?
And it basically means a number of things. The most important ones are that we are living worldwide in different cultures, different socioeconomic environments and so on. And in many social economic environments, people don't usually have access to sleep health, or it's not seen as important. And what the World Sleep Society is aiming to do this year is to create awareness about for both sleep people who sleep, which is us, and then also to healthcare professionals worldwide to adapt a sleep health protocol into their practices, into the way they look after their patients. And then also we went to look at the different sleep behaviors over cultures and over many socioeconomic instances all over the world, which is quite interesting. The results are quite interesting.
For me, like I said, you know, we've spent hours probably talking about sleep in our history. But for me, sleep is such an important thing. And again, I just noticed it, in my practice, helping clients, sorting out clients' sleep, I can see it. But even in my own life, if I miss one night of good sleep, I know what I feel like the next day. That's what I always say to parents or to people. Why do we need to educate people on sleep? You know what you feel like after a crappy nights of sleep. You feel not good, and you can't function the same way that you normally would if you slept better. So why is there a question that we need to educate people? Because we do know better. We know it's good to sleep.
You see, let's look at the history a bit. If we look at the what we call the health triangle, which is exercise, eating healthy, and so on. Sleep health forms the basis. If you don't sleep well, you won't be able to eat healthy, and there's many reasons for that, and you also won't be able to exercise and live your life productively, you know. So sleep plays an important role, but nobody teaches us how to sleep. There's much literature on how to eat healthy.
I want to beg to differ with that. My business is helping parents to teach children.
You go, girl. But in general, there's a lot of misconception about sleep. You know, if you look at, like you explained, now if you feel crap the next day or you don't feel productive the next day after a bad night of sleeping. That is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, we all go through bad nights. We all have bad nights, like we have tummy aches and flu and colds. We do have bad nights. So it's important to clear up some biases, some unrealistic biases about sleep, and also what sleep actually does to us. Many people still say, and you mentioned this a couple of years ago during another radio interview we did, you mentioned that people like to brag about how less they sleep or how little they sleep.
It's like a badge of honor. It's like, I could just go along with like exactly 5 hours of sleep. It's like, that's not good for you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why it's important. There's still a lot of inconsistency. Remember, sleep is is a relatively new science. All the research on sleep has been done a couple of decades ago only, you know, from the 60s and 50s and 60s and upwards, the real science. And we only now realize how important sleep is because of the research that was done.
Yeah. And that's why I am so happy that you get to talk to me again about my absolute passion, which is sleep. And I know it's your passion as well. And you do help quite a lot of people to sleep better, including myself. I won't go into that too much just now. but I'm very excited about this project.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. It's brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, you are on Bump and Beyond, and I'm your host, Yolandi Becker. And if you've just joined me, you will not know that I've been speaking to Jan Daniel Ace, who is a sleep health therapist, in honor and in celebration of World Sleep Day, which is this Friday, the 15th of March. It's all about educating people and health professionals about the importance of sleep and how sleep changes over different populations, cultures, socioeconomic statuses, and all sorts of things. But specifically today, I do want to speak about the changes that happen through the ages as we are growing up, because of course this is specifically for children that we want to talk about. So, JD, my question to start with is, how do children's sleep needs change from when they're small to when they are bigger?
Yolandi, you're opening up a new can of worms here. just to start off with, remember that we are all, we get humans are what we call di or nocturnal species. Okay, so we are made to sleep at night. Babies sleep throughout the day, but we are mainly sleep during the day. Other species, for instance, like rodents and frogs, for instance, are nocturnal species. So they are awake during the night and they usually sleep during the day.
Yes.
So just to keep in mind that as we are born, okay, we tend to move into, as we grow older, we sleep through the day as babies, and as we grow older, our circadian rhythm changes to such an extent that the day sleep gets less and less and less, and night sleep also gets less and less and less, ironically, okay? So what I mean by that is as we grow older, we tend to get away with less sleep, okay? However, children need to sleep much more during the night as adults, and I'm talking about school-going children from age 7 and upwards.
How much sleep do they need then from 7 and upwards?
Well, it's as soon as the light goes down, they need to practically go to sleep. So let's look at the ages. From age 2 years and onwards, it's healthy to sleep about 13 hours.
Yeah.
You know? But we must remember that two-year-olds also get lots of naps during the day.
Yeah.
Okay. Five-year-olds, okay, preschool, needs about between 11 and a half to 12 hours of sleep. And as we progressively grow older, from 10 years of age, we can get away with 10 hours of sleep. 10 years old yeah. needs to get 10 hours of sleep. And then 16 years old and upwards, as we move into puberty, those kids need less and less. They can get away with a good 8 to 8.5 hours of sleep.
Okay.
And that's quite a challenge for many parents.
But then at what age do we then move to the 7 to 8 hours of sleep?
As we grow older, remember...
What's older? Is it like 23
okay,
or 20?
Let me explain it this way, okay? We've got two main sleep drivers in our system. We sleep by means of two brain functions. The first one is the circadian rhythm, and that is what I just explained.
Yeah, that internal clock we all have.
Internal clock. We are alert during the day. We were made to be alert, and we have brain functions and neurotransmitters that keeps us awake during the day and sleep during the night. Okay. And then we also have what we call in practice, we call it the sleep balloon. That's called a homeostatic sleep drive. Mm. That's also a brain function, and that
sleep pressure.
That's sleep pressure, exactly. No. You go, yeah. That sleep. As we stay awake, the longer we stay awake, the more sleep pressure we build.
Yes.
And that's been driven by a neurotransmitter called adenosine triphosphate, or adenosine as we call it. And that's our natural sleeping pill, to be brutally honest.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, remember, as we grow up, during slow wave sleep or deep sleep, we release a very important hormone, which is called the human growth hormone. And that speaks for itself.
Yeah.
As kids are growing up, they need that hours of sleep to grow.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that. As we grow older, you know, then you're obviously not growing anymore, so we need less sleep.
For me also, I often explain to parents as well, because during the day, obviously your baby's not going to be producing melatonin during the day, it's during the night. So the sleep pressure is building up during the day.
Yes.
And that's why, because of this immense brain development, especially those first 2 years of your baby's life, there is a lot of learning that takes place, and your brain needs to, at some point, the pressure builds up a little bit quicker for them because of all this development that's happening. And that's why we have what we refer to as awake windows between sleep. That sleep pressure is building up, and your baby will need to sleep to alleviate that pressure a little bit during the day. But that now also begs the question, because obviously it becomes less the amount of sleep that you need. But lots of times parents also ask me, how do I know if my child is getting enough sleep? Because if I'm just thinking of myself when I was like 21 and whatever, I could party until 3 a.m. in the morning, wake up the next morning at 6 a.m., go to class, and I was absolutely fine.
Yeah,
that is
exactly.
Impossible now for me to
maintain.
Do.
Yes. Yeah.
How would you know if your child is... Because kids are even better than small children about faking needing sleep.
you ask, and this is where parenthood comes in. This is where parenthood comes in. Remember, when babies are born, They are learning as we grow through, as children grows up until adult age. Their brains are learning how to sleep in terms of the circadian rhythm, how to adapt to the circadian rhythm, okay? So first of all, parents need to set an example, okay? Very important. Parents need to set an example on how to sleep healthy. But if we are, if kids are, if they sleep less, then you get many parents who send their 6 or 8 year olds to bed at about 10 or 11 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 8 yeah. o'clock. And then they expect those kids to wake up and be productive and happy children 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's not simply not enough sleep. So first of all, to answer your question is to send the kids to bed. We're going to get to that a bit later. And yeah. create. But
you can answer that now. When is a good bedtime for a child then?
This is the bedtime. Ironically, the bedtime is not as important as the preparation for bedtime, if you catch what I'm saying. So here's our life these days, and this is a socioeconomic environment. We all, hopefully, you know, we all live in a city where there's lights and stimulation and cell phones and tablets and TV and computers and everything and homework, you know. So kids are doing homework or watching TV to keep them a bit, you know, separate from us, you know, in terms of without not spending time with them. And then all of a sudden, lights are on in the house, and then 8 o'clock comes, and now we expect them to fall asleep easily. Okay, now remember what happens during that time. Oh, the kids' brains are full of adenosine. Okay, so the sleep pressure is there. But an hour before, let's say you want to send your kids to bed about 8 o'clock, it's healthy to create an hour about to what we call, to allow for what we call dim light melatonin onset, okay? To allow the environment to work for us to allow melatonin release, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because with all that stimulation, all the alerting signals that we spoke about earlier kicking in, there's no melatonin, there's very little melatonin yeah. release, okay? So an hour before bedtime, create an environment which is calm, which is relatively dark, okay, darker, and a calm environment. So that's the time we can read your kids some stories with a low light, or get them to listen to a podcast or a bedtime story, you know, or whatever the case may be. Also, soft classical music can work.
Yeah.
You know, like Mozart for minors works extremely well. And get them into an environment where there's calm in the domestic environment. And that adds what I said earlier about for parenting to create an example. We also need to create that environment for us.
Yeah. You know? No, I agree. Definitely. And I mean, if you've just joined us, you are on Bump and Beyond. This is me, your host, Yolande Becker, and I'm talking to JD Ace. He is a sleep health therapist, and we're talking specifically about sleep and the importance of sleep for children through the ages. And we were now just talking about the importance of bedtime routine. And I mean, if someone asked me what is my top tip for improving your child's sleep and a baby's sleep, it's introducing a bedtime that is appropriate, not too late and not too long either, because it helps to signal the brain that sleep is coming. And it's such an important signal because, like JD was explaining just now as well, often we expect our children to go to full on awake and alert and doing something to sleeping within 2 seconds. And the brain and the body doesn't work like that. We need to have these signals to kind of get them to that. But you now mentioned earlier, though, that the bedtime routine is important, or the setting up, but the actual bedtime is not so important. So is it okay then if this bedtime routine happens at 10 o'clock at night?
No, of course not. No, of course not. So the bedtime, remember what I said earlier, we've got to create a time to sleep.
Yeah.
That's important. But don't keep the kids active until their bedtime. Don't put them on in front of the TV until bedtime. getting to bath in that hour before bedtime, let them take a hot bath. First getting dinner, you know.
Yeah.
Then a bath or a shower, whatever they prefer. And then create an environment which is sleep inducive. So for instance, for school going children, appropriate bedtime is about 8 o'clock. And I know it's difficult. I mean, life happens. But a good time at the latest, at 7:30, create a soft, calming environment for you and the children to allow your natural or the children's natural sleeping brain to kick in. It will happen automatically. We've just got to create the environment. So your question earlier, how do we know if we have enough sleep? If children have enough sleep?
Yeah.
So first, it will obviously present in if kids are... They are very difficult to wake up in the morning. That's a good sign if they didn't get enough sleep. What we call excessive daytime sleepiness. Say they are sleepy, they're irritated, they, they are not nice little people. Okay, that's a good indication. And also, if they are becoming very hyperactive, and I'm talking about very hyperactive, similar to symptoms to hyperactivity. Attention deficit disorder, and first go look at the time they sleep. Obviously, there's also nocturnal pathology or sleep pathology that kids suffer from, nightmares, sleep apnea, snoring, and so on.
Yeah, but let's also get into that now. Is it normal for children to snore at night?
Yeah, it's about 10%. Statistics show about 10% of people, of children between 2 and 8 years, snore. Okay, and of those, about 1 to 3% of kids suffer from sleep apnea, where the airway closes down because of the little tonsils and adenoids.
The adenoids,
And so it's quite prevalent, but it usually gets better as they grow older. We just need to keep an eye on it. If it gets worse, obviously.
But is there always, if a child is snoring, is it always something to be worried about or to check out? Or should you at least check it out? Or should you just be fine with it if your child is snoring? How often should they be snoring?
Well, if they snore and it bothers the rest of the household, we need to intervene, okay? But if your child some symptoms of severe snoring is sleep fragmentation, where kids wake up during the night a lot, their poor little lungs and breathing system works harder, there's an increase in breathing effort. And some other, medical stuff like alveolar hyperventilation can take place and all of that. But in terms of every day, if the kids are tired during the day, it's obviously, and they sleep enough, obviously, if they snore, it needs to be addressed. If they're hyperactive and they sleep enough, obviously, that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
And irregular sleeping patterns or poor sleeping patterns. My advice would be if your child is snoring, the safest mean to handle that is get the kid to a general practitioner or ear, nose and throat surgeon and see if the lungs, the tonsils, what we call tonsillar hypertrophy, not too enlarged or blocking the airway or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So that's important. It's normal, but if you're scared, there's nothing wrong with to take your child to a...
Just to get them checked out, I also agree.
Yes.
Especially if you're worried about something like that, because
it's actually a
relatively easy fix if it is something like adenoids and things like that. Yeah. It's treatable.
It's very treatable, and that's important. It's very treatable, usually with a adenotonsillectomy, where they take out the adenoids and the tonsils. In severe cases, especially in kids with Down syndrome, further therapy may be needed, like CPAP therapy or continuous positive airway pressure, where they need to sleep with a little machine that blows air to keep the airway open. That's a conversation on its own. But obviously, in every little breathing problem which kids has, there's a solution for.
Yeah. Now, we're very strongly running out of time. If you only just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM. This is Bump and Beyond, and I'm your host, Yolandi Becker. JD, you now mentioned earlier that as children get older, they need less sleep. But still, you said that adolescents or teenagers still require quite a bit of sleep. But the reality is that sleep does change with teenagers. At what age does it change? And what's happening there with the poor teenagers?
Okay. There was an interesting study that was done a couple of years ago. And what they realized is teenagers, okay, let me put it this way. It's natural for teenagers to feel sleepy later during the night because now they're moving into adulthood. Their whole brain is readjusting. The circadian rhythm is readjusting. The homeostatic sleep drive is readjusting. Sleep balloon is readjusting. And by default, teenagers are less likely to fall asleep. They fall asleep later, or they tend to feel sleepy later. The circadian rhythm is also, can I put it, moving forward later during the night. And then there's a whole lot of reasons. This is a whole conversation that takes an hour. But the bottom line is, it's important to still keep that normal sleep hygiene that we spoke about earlier, create an environment and so on, but keep the technology away a bit and so on, in terms of teenagers. Allow that time for melatonin release, that time for calming environment, but don't stress if your teenager feel sleepy later during the night. It will pass. It's not easy. Don't make a mistake. It's not easy.
Nothing about teenagers are easy, is it?
I totally get you. Yeah, it's everything is changing in the bodies and the brains, and every now sleep is also changing, and that's totally haywire. Teenagers tend to usually fall asleep later during the night or feel sleepy later. So don't force them to sleep. And this is another input. You can never force sleep.
Okay. We'll get into this now a little bit more.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. It's brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, and just like that, another show is very strongly coming to an end. And it's been such a nice show talking with JD Ace about sleep and how sleep changes through the ages. JD, you were just before we went to ad break, you were mentioning that sleep can't be forced in the end of the day. So you shouldn't fret too much, I guess, and maybe rather argue too much with your teenager if they need to go to bed later and they want to. But what happens though if they don't get enough sleep?
Well, obviously, when they're not getting enough sleep, you get school performance that degrades. Also, they also get irritated. They struggle to wake up in the morning, which is ironically quite normal. It's a lifestyle. It's a socioeconomic. Schools expect us to be at school at about 7:30 in the morning, and the kids fall asleep around 11 at night. So we have to punch through it. If it becomes serious, like I've got some clients that where I coach some teenagers how to sleep better, then we need to intervene. Degrading in school performance, degrading in sport performance, some accidents. They're irritated, they can't concentrate, and so on. Are obviously red flags.
Yeah, but yes, so if people are struggling with sleep, JD, how can they reach you?
Yolandi, my website address, that's the best way, is ARKEL, it's ARKEL, ARKEL, sleepclinic, it's all one word, .co.za.
Fantastic. Oracle Sleep Health is also on Instagram and on Facebook. So you guys can also go have a look at that and find JD through that. As always, JD, it's wonderful to spend some time with you. And thank you so much for your insight. If you've missed this, don't worry. This will be available as a podcast on HiFM.com later today. So you can go listen to it and all those insightful things that JD shared with us. Thank you so much for joining me. Bye, JD.
Bye-bye. Cheers, everybody.